Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Spiritual warfare is the topic for this month. We've looked at several different passages already. Today we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, and really this is the signature passage on spiritual warfare, isn't it, Richard?
Yes, absolutely. The whole thing is just summed up right here.
Yeah, very nicely. So he starts it out in verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Victory is not through our efforts, not through our intellect, not through our scheming, not through anything that we can do. Victory comes through faith in Jesus Christ, being strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It comes through putting on the whole armor of God. He protects us. He shields us from anything that Satan can throw at us. So he says to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There is a devil. He's real. He is against us. He's trying to do everything in his power to lure us away from truth, from our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he lives for. That's why he's here. So he schemes and he plots. But if we are strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, if we're standing in the whole armor of God, then we're going to be able to stand against those schemes. They're not going to affect us. And I think this is one of the great passages of hope in the New Testament.
Oh, yeah, it is. Way back when, one of the pastors who got through to me about the difference between my legalism and grace preached a sermon called Where the Battle Isn't. And he contrasted what we normally do, which is to run out into the street and say, okay, Satan, bring it on. I'm here. I'm ready for you. Where every time we get pummeled, just run over by the tanks, versus standing in Christ. Our battle is not with Satan. Jesus battled Satan and has already defeated him. Our battle is keeping our eyes on Jesus and staying there in this armor.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what Paul is communicating to us. He goes through what this armor is, and we're going to spend several days talking about that. The fact about having the belt of truth fastened about us, the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for our feet, putting on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have been outfitted completely.
Yes.
Every aspect of who we are is protected and guarded by this gospel message, by this good news about Jesus Christ. If we'll take our stand there, then we'll be able to stand against those schemes of Satan. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. If there have been particular instances in your life where you've recognized spiritual warfare going on and how you were able to stand against those schemes, we would love to hear about it. So call us right now.
1-800-677-9377. We have lines available. So if you call now, you will get through. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go talk to John in Louisville, Kentucky, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, John.
Hello. I have two questions. I want to give a talk on salvation being all of God, and I've heard a minister say, we can't take credit for our faith, that it's a gift from God. I'd like to have some help on that.
Well, John, faith is not something that's natural to us. Faith is always attached to Jesus and to his finished work through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So apart from him, there is no such thing as faith as far as God is concerned. We have the passage in Ephesians that We're saved by grace through faith. This is a gift, not of ourselves. Many theologians would say he's talking about faith. There is some debate about that. But I think a passage that is significant as far as this question is concerned is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, where the writer encourages us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to run the race with perseverance, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And then he says this about Jesus: he is the author and perfecter of our faith. So he is the source of all good things. And faith, as far as we're concerned, is merely our response to what God initiates in our lives. So God has to initiate to us before there's even a remote possibility of us expressing faith in him. So he initiates, we respond. That response is what we would call faith.
Now, the next question is, I've heard that Abraham was not a Jew, and I heard someone say there weren't any Jews at that time. I don't get the connection.
Well, Abraham was just a person.
Yeah.
God tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You know, I'm going to lift you up from your place of residence now, and I'm going to take you to a foreign land." And so he did. Abraham, you know, picked up stakes and moved. And then there was a point in time where God said to him, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And so that established the Jewish bloodline. So there was Abraham, and then there was Isaac, and the same promise was given to Isaac. And then Isaac had the twins, Esau and Jacob, and God picked Jacob to be the one that would carry forth that blessing, and eventually that led to Jesus Christ. He was the seed that God was referring to in that promise. But Abraham became the first in that Jewish bloodline. But before him, there wasn't anything but just people. There wasn't Jews or Gentiles.
Well, I know that the Jew comes from Judah, and that was the only tribe known as Jews, and then after the captivity, I understand that they were all called Jews.
Well, there were the 12 tribes, and those formed the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Now, there was a point in time after David's reign and Solomon's reign that the nation of Israel was divided. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom comprised 10 tribes. They were called Israel. The southern kingdom comprised 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and they were known as Judah. And so you see that kind of division carried forward, even in the new covenant. It was going to be a new covenant with Israel and with Judah. Hopefully that would bring the two groups together again as one. But they were the chosen people for a purpose that was to bring forth Jesus so that Jesus could be a blessing to the entire world so that both Jew and Gentile could be saved through faith in him.
Okay, well, I thank
you. Well, thank you, John. Thanks for your call today. It's certainly nice to hear from you. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this book by Andrew Farley, The Art of Spiritual Warfare, okay?
Well, great.
You hold on, John. Thanks for your call.
And, Bob, we'll let our listeners know that that same book is available to any of you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and all you need to do get yours is to go online to basicgospel.net. You can make your request and make your gift at basicgospel.net or call during Central Time office hours. Speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. A copy of the Operation Screwtape by Andrew Farley, yours for a gift of any amount.
Yeah, and I certainly encourage our listeners to take advantage of this. And I also encourage our listeners to help us get 2014 started on the right track.
Yeah.
Normally, January has the least amount of contributions of any month of the year, and that's true for all ministries. Well, we would love for our listeners to help us change that,
and
to really get this year started off on solid footing. So, if you could contribute today, and to give generously. We would greatly appreciate it, and we want to show our appreciation by sending you this resource. I think it's a resource that you will love having in your hands, being able to read through it. I think it will equip you to go out and to live by faith, to recognize when error is being thrown at you, and how to stand firm in truth. That's what this book is all about, and we want you to have it available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month.
Just visit us at basicgospel.net or again call 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Diego and talk to our good friend Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing fantastic. So nice to hear from you.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
Thank you so much. I hear it's cold and rainy there.
It is. It is indeed. We need to be out where you are.
Exactly. I hate to rub it in.
Oh, no, you don't.
Sunny day. No, it is beautiful here right now, but we're in a drought, so that's not too good. But I'm calling regarding the gentleman who, well, first, Hebrews 12:2, where it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In the Greek, in a lineal, the author is described as leader, captain, and prince. And I really like that because the group that says you can't have faith, you have no free will, you can't have faith, uses that as you know, he's the originator of our faith, and of course he is in that we couldn't have done any of this without him. But just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Well, and Lucy, there's no such thing as faith apart from Jesus. So
right.
our faith has value and substance and meaning only when it's in Jesus. Otherwise, there is no faith. That's why we have to look at what God does in initiating to us through Jesus Christ himself, and then our response to that becomes what we would call faith.
Yes. I don't know whether it was you or Richard or maybe even Andrew Farley that commented about that our relationship, God's relationship with us doesn't begin the day we believe. He's been wooing us all along.
Yes, indeed.
But he's made that offer to everyone.
Yes.
To whosoever. But the question that I had was, the gentleman who called about the Jews that are preparing to rebuild the temple with a red heifer, and I've seen the video of the ornaments or the accoutrements that go with the sacrificial worship that they're collecting and so on and so forth. And as a Christian, you should know that, you know, that's not belief in Jesus. But how about the Christians who say things like the church has replaced Israel? How about the ones who say there's no millennium, that everything will eventually, it's going to get worse, but it'll eventually get better and better. And, I mean, I believe these are believers. They say they are, but how, I don't know how they come to those conclusions.
Well,
I know how to handle the conversation, frankly.
Well, Lucy, it starts with a premise. Everything goes back to a premise. And
right.
There's... For example, there's a dispensational viewpoint of Scripture. That's a lot of what Dallas Theological Seminary would be. They look at Scripture from a dispensational viewpoint. So all of history is divided into different dispensations, and God has dealt with people in each dispensation a little bit differently than he deals with them in subsequent dispensations. And they would certainly say we're in the dispensation of grace or the church. There's going to be a time where God's going to circle back to the nation of Israel and restore them and fulfill all of those promises he made. There's another viewpoint of Scripture. It would be covenantal, and most of the Calvinists would buy into that. And so they would say that God always deals with his people based on covenant, that it's just been building through history, and that Israel was just a part of the people of God that now includes the church, and we've all just been melded together as one. So it starts with a premise, and then it logically flows from there. But the fact of the matter is, this gospel message is for both Jew and Gentile. The body of Christ today is made up of both Jew and Gentile. As far as the Jewish people are concerned, today there is a remnant that have been chosen by grace, and the rest of the Jewish people have basically rejected Christ as their Messiah. But there will be a time where they will see him for who he is. That's why Paul wrote what he did in Romans 9, 10, and 11. So we can know that there will be a time when God circles back and will give them the opportunity to respond to Christ by faith, just as we have already responded by faith.
Right. Well, I believe all that. My problem is that I have contact with so many people with these divergent. My problem is, and I must give myself credit for that, I usually remain silent.
Yeah.
Because
well,
I
Lucy,
can't.
I think in those situations, it's you know, I think you can ask some questions and
yes,
do it in such a way that it can really generate some good dialogue. Well, so why What premises are you standing on that lead you to these conclusions? And how do you handle this particular verse if you believe this? And so just engage in some dialogue. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to persuade them to a different opinion, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to persuade you, but you can engage. And I think in engaging, you can find out what really is going on underneath.
Well, I have tried that in years past, but not one of the people that I have engaged with in this has changed their mind.
Yeah. Well, and that's not necessarily the point of conversation. To me, I'm interested in finding out why a person believes what they believe. What are the underpinnings of your belief? Do you really have underpinnings? A lot of folks believe something because the pastor in the pulpit told them this is what we believe. So they don't they don't really know the whys and the wherefores. So
right.
I think if you can get to the underpinnings, then you have a point of dialogue. And like I said, your purpose in that isn't necessarily to persuade or to change or to get them to come to your point of view. It's just basically to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice. That's real good advice, and I know where they're coming from, because I was at that point myself, just what the pastor said.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I believed, and was totally biblically illiterate, so I just took it, you know, for truth.
But now all that's changed. You've really
it has, and
you
I
know,
and
you've
because,
dug into the Word of God, and you've asked the Lord to reveal truth, and. And boy, we've seen how God has grown you through the years, and it's wonderful.
If it hadn't been for Basic Gospel, people to people, none of this would have come about. I would have remained pretty dark, and I'm so grateful. Honestly, I can't really express it. I'm so grateful to all of you, and you preach a very true and perfect message. But it's an unpopular message. I don't know how else to express it. It's an unpopular message in today's churches.
Well, it certainly seems to be, Lucy. And
hopefully
we can help change that a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some change in one friend who's a pastor, and he just, I know him personally, and he's been a really good friend for many, many years. And when he brings his message, you know, I know him. I know his weaknesses. I know his failures, just like he knows mine. And yet, when he speaks, you know it's the Holy Spirit working in and through him.
Well, that's,
and it's so wonderful to see, and it's the grace message and the new covenant.
Absolutely.
That he stresses. So.
Well, that's great,
I'm just so grateful to all of you. I won't keep you any longer. I'm sure you have others to talk to. I love you all so much.
Well, we feel the same about you, Lucy, and Doug as well. And thank you for those wonderful Christmas gifts.
The peanut brittle is awesome.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. God bless, Lucy.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Oakland, California, and talk to Joanne, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you? Yeah. Great to listen to your ministry, and that's done wonders for me. I just have a question about the armor of God and how what your thoughts are about the legal rights and strongholds in terms of the armor of God being our protection and leaving that war, the spiritual warfare, to God and how the legal rights are and strongholds perhaps. Are they something that we do physically in our own lives, or is that something also covered by the armor of God?
Well, Joanne, I personally think they're covered by the armor of God. I mean, this helmet of salvation, that protects our mind, and that's where these strongholds take hold of us, is okay. Right there in our thinking. And when we can truly embrace the truth of this gospel, what Christ has done to save us, how he's taken away our sins, how he's broken the power of sin in our lives, how he's come to live inside of us through his Spirit, how he's declared us to be righteous in his sight and given us a new identity, a new nature, so to speak. When we really embrace those things, that truth in and of itself breaks all of those strongholds that were so prevalent before coming to know him. So I think the full armor of God is sufficient in all things. I think part of Satan's schemes is to get us to think that the full armor of God isn't enough, that we need to add to it. But when he equipped us with armor, he equipped us from head to toe, and everything's protected, and we can trust in him and what he's accomplished for us and what he continues to accomplish through us through his Spirit.
Okay, I have heard Deliverance Ministries who suggest that you rid your life of some of the things that may have caused sin and don't, of course, engage in them. And I believe that is also resolved through our life in Christ. When we're in union with, we no longer sin or do the same things. So I tend to believe that discipleship and the discipleship and the faith in the armor of God is.
Yeah, I think you're talking about wisdom there. As you stand in truth, then you see wisdom. I mean, it just makes sense if you recognize the nature of your flesh to protect against that. So,
very good.
Okay,
all
Joanne.
Right. I really appreciate your ministry, and I really appreciate your show, and God bless you both.
Hey, thank you so much, and so
thank
nice
you.
To hear from you, Joanne. God
Joanne,
bless.
Why don't you hold the line, let our operator pick you up. Well, we're out of time for this particular edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel. This ministry, of course, is totally listener-supported, and we need your ongoing help to keep Basic Gospel on the air. And for your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Also, to stay up to date with late news about the ministry and upcoming conferences and events, information about new resources to aid your understanding of life in Christ Jesus, join our email list. Just click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. want to remind you also that all the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. Take advantage. You'll find some interesting things right there. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.